weekly basis. So let me open this real quick. Okay, so this is a weekly. You guys see the spreadsheet?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let me expand this a little bit so you can see it a little bit better. All right. Can everyone read the numbers?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a monthly report that we also use on a weekly basis. And this is a really good tool to keep track of revenue in and expenditures and expenses out. So if you guys, can y'all see my mouse moving around?
Yes.
Okay. So this column here is the 2018 monthly actuals. So these are the actuals that we pulled from the TCC's statements. 2019 actuals, same thing. The reason that I wanted to see 2018 and 2019 together is because when Donnie and I did the operations budget, we saw that 2019 was a huge anomaly. And I think everyone knows that 2019 was a horrible year due to weather, due to people thinking that the golf course was going to not be in business anymore, several reasons, whatever the reasons were, but it was an anomaly, really bad year. So it's good to have more than just 2019, because anything would look good after 2019. So we look at these two numbers. This everything is broken down on revenues and then expenses, okay? But so that I don't go over every single category, if you look at total revenue, revenue for 2018 was $61,668. That's for the month of September. Revenue 2019 was $55,474. Our budget, Donnie and I, and then the adopted TNIBD budget, we expected $44,000. You see this monthly forecast, this is now what we do monthly. Michelle does this based on what we've learned so far in the rate of play, the increase in the range operation, the increase in daily play, and she adjusts this more real time. So it's a better guesstimate of where we are versus where Donnie and I were like in January and February of this year.
What date is this through, John?
This is today. This is as of today. This is the third week of September's report. So we anticipated 44,600 in revenue. Michelle said, hey, we've been doing better. So she anticipated 50,000. And as of right now, there's 32,000 in revenue. And as you can see over here, this is how they actually fill these numbers in. It breaks out week one, week two, week three. So the dues, you're going to see the dues obviously are coming out at the first of the month. So you're only going to see that on week one. And a little bit more in week two. But if you look at the revenue, 17,000 for week one, 11,000 for week two, 3,500 week three. Well, that's because the Hurricane Sally, Monday closed, then Tuesday closed, people prepping, the Saints are open, like it's just many factors. So we lost a significant amount of revenue in that month, but that's why you want to look at this weekly, because you can start pinpointing some of the reasons for increases or decreases in revenue and increases and decreases in expenses. So if you move on down now to the total expenses, 2018 actuals were $91,625. 2019 was $89,101. So that's fairly close, because revenue for 2019 was way down. Expenses were somewhat the same, with the exception of a couple of months. So our budget, with Donnie and I's, we'll call that the golf operations budget, but then we then turned into the TNIBD annual budget. Our budget was $95,691 in expenses. Michelle, again, through monitoring real time where we are, her expenses are $78,940. Currently, our expenses for the month are $52,000. Go down one other line. 2018 actuals, this estimated earnings -$29,957 for 2018. So the golf course lost $30,000 in September. And 2019 lost $33,627. We budgeted to lose $60,000. Now, all of you should know the answer to this, but if you're wondering why did you budget losing double, it's because of the member dues. We don't get the member dues anymore from the residents. Michelle has anticipated we'd be at 35,000 loss, and currently we're at 26,000. So if the play comes back up, as it should, depending on these other five hurricanes or tropical depressions that are out there, hopefully we can turn September around and still have a good month. What is really good about this is that every month since April, this bottom line number down here, which is the loss, which we expect a loss, that number has been less than what we budgeted for every single month, which makes me very happy.
John? Yeah. If you could scroll back down all the way like you had a moment ago. When you say that the current monthly forecast for a loss at 35,000, is that as of this date, or is that for the whole month of September?
That's for the whole month. So that 35,000 is under this monthly forecast. So that's what Michelle puts together the month prior. So in August, she put together. We anticipated in March when we built our budget, we anticipated losing 60,000. Now, based on the amount of play we've been seeing, range, golf manage membership, et cetera, that number has dropped down to 35,385.
Right.
And Michelle's been pretty good at
forecasting it.
Yeah. Forecasting these numbers. And so every time she does really well, I give her another task, and she's probably tired of me doing that. But one of the things was I said, okay, well, now we know these numbers, and you're doing really well. Now let's actually identify why the numbers were off. And so what we did is came up with these weekly notes. So if you scroll down, you can see week one, dues are low, blah, blah, blah. Week two, week three. And so there's an explanation. If a number is off of the forecast, we know it's going to be off for the original budget. But if it's off from her forecast, then she has to put an explanation into here as to why she thinks that is. Otherwise, she has to answer emails from me. And this is easier for everybody, I think. So
it's a good report.
Pretty tool.
It is.
And we've got actually lots of tools because Donnie also gets pinged by me. I don't know if he still likes working with me or not, but he's super responsive. As soon as I ask for something, I mean, within 48 hours, I'm usually getting a draft. It's really cool working with him. And we now he's going to go over it with the – I think it'll be the first time for the KPI. And we noticed 2 weeks ago, I don't remember – I was having trouble logging in to see the account for the Century – Timberlane joint account. I couldn't see the balance. That would make me very nervous. I was having problems. I said, well, somebody send me the balance right now because I don't know what it is and I can't log in. And the balance was like less than 13,000, which gave me an immediate pucker right here. So Donnie and I started talking. Said, hey, we can't allow this to happen. We got to have oversight. We need like a $25,000 minimum in there just to cover payroll. Payroll's, you know, $14,000, $15,000, $16,000 at a time. So we talked about forecasting something, and a couple of days later, Donnie had a monthly forecast generated. We looked 90 days out. So we're going to, Ann and I will now work on a policy in place. We'll figure out what the number needs to be. And so we're not scrambling because Ann and I can get a wire done in 24 hours, but we have to coordinate getting to the bank because we both have to sign the wire transfer. And depending on what's going on, I mean, 2020, it's been weird. So you'd think that's not a problem. But, you know, things are closed down for hurricanes or riots or protests or whatever. So we're going to have something in place where we're not having to just make an immediate trip to the bank and actually be able to foresee some of these things. So next month, we're going to go over it's going to be heavy on accounting because we're going to go over all the reports that Ronnie and I look at. And all the reports that Ann and I and Michelle and Donnie look at. So eat your Wheaties or whatever, drink a Red Bull, lots of money. Any questions? No? All right. Okay. I'm going to get rid of that. All right. This agenda is really messing with me. It keeps deciding to run away, and I'm not really sure why.
Max, is a treasure update, and unless you just gave it.
Just did.
Commissioner elections.
All right. Commissioner elections, John, that is you. I'm going to go ahead and share this updated report.
Yeah, I'm sorry about getting this report out such last minute, but I was collecting information right up until meeting time. So I hope all of you got this in email, and there's a copy in Dropbox if you want to see it there.
Can everyone see it right now on the screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the signs for prospective candidates, we got those made. They're made in a reusable form so that every year by bylaws, the elections happen in October, and the dates of those things the exact date can vary a little bit. So we worded the signs for the call for candidates so that they would be reusable. I got them out and had to take them right back in because of the storm, but I think they're at all the entrances and exits around the neighborhood so that people can't avoid seeing them. The dates involved for the election are set by the bylaws. The candidate qualifying deadline is October 15th, unless October 15th falls on a weekend. This year it falls on a Thursday. The time for the deadline is 6 p.m. The time for the election is also set in the bylaws. It's October 30th, and ballots have to be in by 6 p.m. on October 30th, unless it falls on a weekend. This year it falls on a Friday. So candidate qualifying deadline, 6 p.m. on October 15th. Ballot deadline, 6 p.m. October 30th. Now, one date that's up to our discretion is the candidate forum. My suggestion would be that since there is a TNIBD meeting on October 15th, that we make time available to all the candidates put that as part of our agenda for that meeting, and the candidates can have their 3 minutes to introduce themselves on the 15th during the meeting. If you were to want to consider another possibility, I suppose we could do a meeting if you thought a Saturday was a better day to do it, that's Saturday, October 17th, that we could set that up. What are the commissioner's feelings about the date for the candidate forum?
So keep it the 15th. It's a 6 o'clock cutoff, and it's a 6:30 meeting.
Okay.
And we looked at that. If you look at the calendar, we should be able to make that standard, because in no way should the third Thursday of the month ever be before the 15th. Right?
Right.
Now, this year, it's the first, October 1st actually falls on the Thursday. So I think we're going to be good to say the candidate time to speak is going to be on the Thursday meetings in October.
Okay.
Does anyone else have an objection to that?
No. It makes sense to do it that way. Logical.
Mm. Okay. Now, our tabulator, our vote counter. Robert LaGreco, who worked with us for the original election and was available for last year, is available for this year. If that's acceptable to you all, I'll reach out to him to start making the next steps tomorrow. He looked at the time that he spent the last time, and his estimate for the cost will be $2,250. There is another item mentioned in the handout that I want to talk about later in our discussion. Is Le Greco acceptable to everybody?
Yeah, it's about the same price that he charged last time, John.
Yes, he last year the proposed charge was $2,500, but we didn't have an election because there were only two candidates. So I'm going to work at making the same kind of arrangement with him this year, and he's asking for actually less money than he did that time. So.
No, I think that's fine.
List of eligible voters, we have that. Exactly who will print it out? Ann says she knows how to do this. I'm going to get her to teach me how to do it. But we're going to print out labels soon as I can so that we'll have that ready. My goal is to have that done by October 1st. And I'm going to prepare at once we have this meeting and we know exactly how we're going to send out and receive the ballots, I'm also going to propose a ballot instruction paper to go in the envelope with the ballots that will be mailed out so people will know how to fill out the ballot, how to get back to us.
How to mark their X.
X is two. no more. So that all that stuff, the mailing labels, getting those on envelopes, getting stamps on the envelopes, getting the instructions in the envelopes, that can happen, within the next week or two. The printing of the ballots, we will know at 6 o'clock on October 15th, who the candidates are, and I'm hopeful we'll have their 400 word possible up to 400 word introduction, and we're gonna get that put together that night, so that we can get it to a printer, to help us get it out more quickly. I asked at with John had mentioned Office Depot. I asked there, but they need a 24-hour turnaround. So I called the two Kinko's FedEx places that are downtown, one at Convention Center Boulevard, one at St. Charles, and they say they likely can print and fold within a 4-hour window. Now, I say likely because they don't know how many jobs are going to have on a given day. My thought is to contact them on the morning of the 15th, and whoever sounds more optimistic about being able to do our turnaround to do the job with them. But Sally and I will get it put together, and we can submit these electronically. In fact, since one of these closes at 8 o'clock, the one on St. Charles, Sally, if she's working on that during the meeting, may be able to get that sent into them before they even close on Thursday. But in either case, they're optimistic. They say they likely can have us. The printed and folded two-page, I'm anticipating two pages because of the introduction. So one page is the ballot, the next page is the candidate statement. Now, that means that we would have the printed ballots in our hands by about noon on Friday the 16th. I think it is, if we can get some help, we ought to be able to get the envelopes that already have the instructions in them to get those the ballots in the envelopes, sealed, and off to the post office by 4 o'clock that day. I don't know. Do y'all think that's a reasonable 2 hours to stuff 500 envelopes? I guess it depends on how much help we get.
It's on the volunteer. Yeah.
Yeah. So we may need to be. I'll see what I can do to work on getting some help with that. The prices for the printing of 500 copies of a two-page letter and folding it were between $175 to $200 for that. Now comes some of the decisions we need to make. Distribution of ballots. Certainly, I think we traditionally have mailed out ballots, but I know there is concern about the mail service in Timberlane. So my question is distribution by mail sufficient? Another option to consider would be, do we want to place a ballot on the website for people who are concerned, if they get concerned at a certain point that they haven't received their ballot, that they can download and have a ballot to fill out? Of course, the possible downsides of that is that we might receive duplicate ballots in return. I think if we set aside, if we make it clear that we're going to have to validate these ballots, which LaGreco did for our last election, and that the criteria for a valid ballot would be that indeed the property owner and voter property is properly identified, that the voter has voted for no more than two candidates, that it must be received by the voter deadline of 6 p.m. on October 30th, and that if there's multiple ballots from the same address, we will accept it if the results are congruent. So if the person panicked and sent in a second ballot and we get both of them and they voted for the same people each time, that's a ballot that counts. That's a ballot that we can consider that we know what they meant. The flip side, if the property or the voter is not clearly identified, if they voted for more than two candidates, if it's received after the voting deadline, I'll have some more to say about receiving in a minute. And if there's multiple ballots from the same address, but there are different results on those ballots, I don't think that we can know what that ballot is, and we have to consider that. If those results are not congruent, we have to consider that an invalid ballot. In the original election of commissioners, there were, out of all the ballots, five ballots that couldn't be validated. I think that's a fairly small number. Of course, we want to count every ballot we can. I think those are reasonable criteria. I'll make sure I put those in the instruction letter, along with mentioning prominently the deadlines involved. Now, in terms of... Yes?
I'm sorry. Is it anticipated that the ballots that are mailed out will have the person's name and address on it that we